Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, October 19, 2015. Top SPLM policy-making organization votes to dissolve the party's leadership secretariat.
You have the peace agreement that the SPLM just signed, and that peace agreement was supposed to engender a goodwill where people will come back. All the different factions of the SPLM, they are supposed to come back to Juba first, and from there, the implementation of the agreement starts.
And former top SPLM official Pagana Mum advises party members to distance themselves from President Kiir.
I call on SPLM members to distance themselves from Kiir and his policies, for them to take matters into their hands and revive the SPLM, return to John Garang core values, John Garang thoughts, and return to the core values of SPLM.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The main policy-making body of the ruling SPLM party, the National Liberation Council, voted unanimously last week to dissolve the party's secretariat. Members of the SPLM say the move is years overdue, but a top political analyst says revamping the secretariat now sends the wrong message to the South Sudanese and the international community. Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The General Secretariat is dissolved by the National Liberation Council, and the chairman is empowered to appoint new secretaries in the National Secretariat as soon as possible.
That is the SPLM's National Secretary for Popular and Syndicated Organizations, Martin Majut, announcing the results of the long meeting of the National Liberation Council, or NLC, on Friday. Majut said officials who were serving in the party secretariat will remain in their positions in a caretaker role until new officers are appointed. Akol Paul Kordit is a member of the SPLM Political Bureau and the NLC. Paul says that the decision to make the across-the-board changes in the secretariat is long overdue. He says some secretariat officials had been in their jobs since before South Sudan gained independence from Khartoum in 2011. In other cases, Paul says the reshuffle is aimed at streamlining the secretariat, where there is sometimes more than one person doing the same job.
So you find that in one office you've got three secretaries in the same secretariat. Bulky, financially, less efficient and effective because of overlapping of institutions and functions. So this is a pure administrative move. So even if there was no war in this country, even if we didn't have the crisis in 2013 December, still this procedure was going to be done by all of us.
Paul says the NLC has a constitutional right to dissolve any structure of the party it sees fit to dissolve. He argues, in fact, that the dissolving the secretariat is called for in the party reunification agreement signed in Arusha, Tanzania, in January by the leaders of different SPLM factions. But the Arusha agreement states that all three factions of the party, the SPLM in government, the SPLM in opposition, which is led by Riek Machar, and the SPLM former detainees led by Pagan Amum, should work together to restructure the party. The only one of those three factions that is in Juba at present is the SPLM in government. James Okuk is a lecturer in politics at the University of Juba. He says the NLC's decision to completely reorganize the secretariat is untimely.
Because you have the peace agreement that the SPLM just signed, and that peace agreement was supposed to engender a goodwill where people will come back. All the different factions of the SPLM, they are supposed to come back to Juba first, and from there, the implementation of the agreement starts. And then now, they reinvigorate the Arusha reunification agreement, and then they can talk of restructuring the party.
Okuk says the decision sends the message that the SPLM leaders who are in Juba do not really want unity in the party or peace in the country.
It will not unite the party. And if it doesn't unite the party, it means some of the leaders of that party will remain outside the country because they will be afraid of their lives back in the country. And if they are not back in the country, it means the war will not stop as people expect. They might have other options when they are outside. So this is adding fuel to the already troubled situation. So it doesn't give a good signal for peace to the country at all.
Some officials say, in fact, it was only the General Secretariat headed by Pagan Amum that was dissolved. They say the NLC did not vote to dissolve itself or other high-level party organs like the Political Bureau. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The newly sacked SPLM Secretary General Pagan Amum is calling on party members to distance themselves from President Kiir. Amum says the party has lost its bearing under the chairmanship of President Kiir. Amum says the National Liberation Council is not to blame for misleading party members.
The National Liberation Council is the central policy-making body of the SPLM, and it is the highest organ of the SPLM to implement the resolutions and decisions taken by the convention, which is the supreme body of the SPLM, which is supposed to be...
Since South Sudan became independent, when did the SPLM have its convention?
The SPLM had its convention in 2008 and elect for a period of 5 years. And we were supposed to convene and organize our national convention in 2013, which was obstructed and delayed by the chairman himself.
A lot of people are saying that the decision by the Liberation Council to dissolve the party secretariat on Friday was wrong. Did the National Liberation Council break any party rules?
Actually, it was not a decision by the National Liberation Council. Comrade Salva Kiir Mayar did dissolve all the structure of the party. Actually, he decided first to dissolve the National Liberation Council, dissolve the Political Bureau, and then he was reminded that also the National Secretariat. So what we are having here is a chairman of a party liquidating the party itself, claiming that it is the party that dissolved itself and that it is only him who is remaining, or that his office is the only office that is remaining. What makes him remain as the chair? Chair of what? If he dissolves the NLC, it means as the chair of the NLC, he loses his position. If he dissolves the Political Bureau, then he ceases to be the chair of the Political Bureau. If he dissolves the Secretariat, then he loses to be the chair of the party. It is really very unfortunate. The SPLM has been destroyed by none other than Salva Kiir himself. And this is an implementation of the plans of the NCP in Khartoum, who was in a continuous struggle to destroy the SPLM, from the killing of John Garang and to now the dividing the SPLM and liquidating it and taking it over.
Were you invited for this NLC meeting that took place on Friday?
No.
Why?
You can ask Salva Kiir, who convened the meeting.
A lot of people within the SPLM are saying your disagreement and your misunderstanding with President Kiir started when you could not control your appetite for the post of chairmanship of the party. Is that correct?
That is not correct at all. Comrade Kiir continued to work with others outside the SPLM to determine the policies. He continued to work and to marginalize the leadership of SPLM, accusing them as people who were loyal to John Garang, and that this was his own time now. We said, okay, fine, work with whoever that you trust. And if having been with John Garang was a crime, he himself was number two of John Garang, and he was close to John Garang. What is this thing? Is it because of his betrayal of 2003, and four, when he tried to stage and take over the leadership of the SPLM and destroy the SPLM on a tribal, even on a sectional and regional ground, because he was talking of only as a leader of Bahargazal.
These are very serious statements from you, Pagan Amum. Now, with all this happening, you are saying you're a disciplined member of the party and you still have the vision of the SPLM, as it were, from the beginning. What is your next move?
I call on SPLM members to distance themselves from Kiir and his policies, for them to take matters into their hands and revive the SPLM, return to John Garang core values, John Garang thoughts, and return to the core values of SPLM and prepare themselves to salvage South Sudan from where it is being taken by President Kiir. Kiir has established a dictatorship, a kleptocracy, a tribalist government that is destroying South Sudan. You can see it from the way he has divided South Sudan into different states by himself, violating the constitution, and taking all these powers into his own hands.
That's SPLM former Secretary General Pagan Amum. He was speaking to me from Denver, Colorado, in the United States early today. Amum says he came to the United States at the invitation of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to attend a high-level meeting on South Sudan. The South Sudan Army says it has rescued 50 men abducted by an unknown group in Western Equatorial State last week and has reunited them with their families. The SPLA commander of Division 6 says a rebellion is underway in the Mundri area and it's time politicians acknowledge it. Philip Thornaleo reports for VOA from Juba.
General Johnson Juma told reporters at Army headquarters in Juba today that renegade SPLA officer James Kabila has been abducting people in Maridi County over the last 2 months. He says the army managed to track down the armed groups and rescue the 50 men 4 days ago.
Some of them are police, some of the prison cadres that were taken and were under custody of the renegades in the wilderness around Maridi. Those who are civilians have been reunited back to their families and people are happy.
Juma says his forces are trying to prevent further bloodshed by restraining themselves and following army procedures. He says 7 SPLA soldiers and 14 rebels have been killed since the permanent ceasefire was declared in August in the Mundri area and describes the situation as tense.
Our forces continue to be under attack by these renegades, and the forces in Mundri continue to defend the territory. They're not gone out. We had been attacked more than 4 times in Mundri. We repulsed their attacks. And as I speak to you now, we are in full control of the situation in Mundri.
Juma is calling on local politicians to urge local citizens to embrace the peace deal signed in August by President Salva Kiir and armed opposition leader Riek Machar, calling the situation in Western Equatorial State very serious.
I'm not a politician, I'm a soldier. I'm the one commanding the forces there. There's a rebellion in Western Equatoria, especially Mundri, the greater Mundri. It is very clear. It's under Wesley Wilibe. Even the sons and the daughter, the politician of these two greater Mundri, they know. They are denying. I cannot answer on their behalf.
Juma says there is evidence to conclude that there is a war being waged against the government in Mundri area. He says army convoys and military garrisons have been attacked 4 times.
They attack us between Jambo, Louis, and Mundri several times. Who do you think would do that? These are organized people. They are rebellious, and now we call them they are rebellious. And the SPLM-IO has claimed their responsibilities. So if their sons and daughters that come from the area deny what is happening, you ask them to give the name of that situation.
Western Equatorial Caretaker Governor Patrick Zamoyo said 2 weeks ago that the state government has no information on the armed groups behind the attack. Meanwhile, SPLA spokesman Colonel Philip Aguirre says the government forces clashed with armed opposition in Unity State on Monday.
Today there is a major violation in Unity State in Lare, when the forces of Riek Machar started shelling Leyr from 6 up to 9 o'clock a.m., and we are expecting attack on Leyr any time by the forces of Riek Machar.
Agur says there are no details on casualties on the government side. The SPLA in opposition could not be reached for comment. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, officials attend an ICT conference in Kigali with hopes of boosting South Sudan's health and education services. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you believe in an afterlife?
I'm a Christian. I can believe, but partly I won't believe because no one has ever gone and come back. I've never seen. So it's a challenging one.
The Bible says that from dust we were made and to dust we shall return. So I don't believe in any life after death. But after reading so many books, I believe there is a school of thought that believes that people live after they die. But that still remains an illusion to me.
I believe in life after death simply because it's known that man is essentially spirit.
Obviously, life after death is sure for those of us who are God-fearing. We do believe that there is life after death.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Thousands of people marched through the Jonglei state capital today to show support for President Salva Kiir's decision to split South Sudan 10 states into 28. For VOA News, Jacob Achek reports from Bor.
People perform traditional dance as school children, politicians, civil servants, members of the security forces and civil society activists march shoulder to shoulder for 3 kilometers from Langba Road to the state secretariat in Ibor. There, they presented a message to the governor, John Kong-Nguyen, expressing their thanks to President Kiir for creating a new state for the people of Bor, Duk, and Tichis counties. Genwun Thonyigak spoke on behalf of the people of the 3 counties as he handed the letters to the governor.
We, the people of Greater Bor, register our constant and unwavering support to your wise leadership as the founding cornerstones of the Republic of Sudan, of South Sudan. But we condemn in the strongest terms the outsiders, powers who and scrupulously interfering in our internal affairs by asking our president to reserve his decision. No to that unalienable request, and yes to our president's inalienable, wise historical decision.
The Troika for South Sudan, which is made up of the United States, Norway, and the United Kingdom, along with the European Union and regional bloc IGAD, have also spoken out against the creation of new state in South Sudan. All three groups say Mr. Kiir has violated the peace deal put together by IGAD to try to stop 20 months of fighting in South Sudan by redrawing the country's internal maps. As he accepted the letter from the marshes, Governor Kong told them the main reasons that President Kiir ordered 28 states to be created was to support development in the country. He says the move was not intended to divide people. Mabil Majuk, a paramount chief of Duke County, called on Jonglei state leaders to immediately implement the president's order to expand the number of states in the country. Mabil Majuk says that by creating more states and developing leadership to them, President Kiir order will help to diffuse the power struggle in South Sudan that flunked the country into a conflict that has caused many lives. Mading Deng Lual is a resident of Bo Town. He says he hopes that creation of new states will help to improve security and allow South Sudan to refocus its emergencies on development.
We were together and the development was not going well. So now the new creation of the 28th state now will make people work together and make the development of this country successfully, and insecurity will not be like before.
Under the presidential order that Mr. Kiir issued at the start of October, Jonglei State will be divided into four new states: Western Biesch, Eastern Biesch, Buma and Jonglei States. That last new state will encompass Bor, Duk and Twichis counties. The order is due to take effect earlier next month. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
Telecommunication and Postal Services Minister Rebecca Joshua Okwachi says the government hopes to use information, communication and technology to improve South Sudan's health and education services. Okwachi and other top officials are attending a conference which opened today in Rwanda. Some 2,500 policymakers, academics and leading technology company are attending the international conference. Mugume Debs Rokarinj has more from Kigali, Rwanda.
The three-day summit is organized by the Rwandan government, the International Telecommunications Union and the World Bank. Rebecca Joshua Okwachi, who is representing President Salva Kiir at the conference, says she believes South Sudan will learn a lot from the conference.
Instead of just moving slowly the way we used to move as Africa towards technology and development, now having technology is an enabler to help us leapfrog our areas of health, education, transport, infrastructure. And that's why we are excited about being part of this family.
Wol Mayar Ariech, the director of ICT in South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry, agrees.
We will develop quickly if we actually get the components of ICT and encourage the policy of ICT innovation, connectivity with the rural areas, the institutions, public institutions as well as private institutions. It goes with the concept of our government and our leadership that we want to take the towns of the people.
For the next 3 days, delegates will be talking critical issues such as how to grow the ICT industry in South Sudan and how to encourage business and government networking and deal-making. Jean-Philippe Sengimana, Rwanda's Minister for Youth and ICT Technology, told conference goers that ICT has enabled the Rwandan government to deliver services more efficiently and to bring new business to Rwanda.
We're also able to attract new businesses like computer assemblies and so on, so that finally we can start looking at this electronics made in Africa. I think it's a challenge that I give to you to discuss. It's possible. We have the demand and we have the ability to do it.
South Sudan has already embarked on the road toward boosting its ICT sector by laying the foundation for a fiber optic cable which will bring broadband internet to the country from Kenya. Okwachi says she expects the project to be completed in 1 year's time. Conference participants are talking about how they can reach their goal of raising $300 billion in ICT investments for Africa by the year 2020. For VOA News, Ayamugume, Davis Ruakadinj in Kigali, Rwanda.
A growing number of young African entrepreneurs living in the United States want to get their ideas for new businesses off the ground, and the U.S. Africa Chamber of Commerce, together with Washington Young African Professionals Network, is trying to help make that happen. The two non-profit recently organized a business pitch workshop where young entrepreneurs were given chance to present their business models to a panel of experts. Ayen Bior has the story from Washington.
Officials with the U.S. Africa Chamber of Commerce say when it comes to investing in sub-Saharan Africa, diaspora investors have a unique advantage over foreign investors. They are not only familiar with their native country's political landscape, but they typically have an extensive knowledge of their country's market and existing business networks in the country. Adebayo Dawadu, the co-founder of the U.S.-based tech firm TipHub, which targets the African diaspora, says the biggest mistake most entrepreneurs make is waiting for the right time to build their company.
Probably the first five business idea you're going to have is not going to be successful. It'll be very rare, but take the lessons learned by just starting. Mm-hmm. Start, fail, and repeat. You know, the worst thing you can do is to do nothing at all.
Another thing to remember, according to Kwaku Enduam, co-founder of Group Enduam, is always tell an engaging story when selling your idea to a potential investor.
When I'm evaluating a pitch
for a future meeting, I want something that's interesting, because, you know, there could be a very profitable, boring company. There are tons of them out there. I want a company that may or may not make money, but definitely that has a good story that I can enjoy participating in, and that it will be pleasant to help grow.
According to the World Economic Forum, about 80% of businesses fail. But those odds are not stopping young African entrepreneurs like Rose Essien, who is starting a social networking firm here in the U.S. She says the biggest challenge is having to juggle her full-time day job and then having to work another 5 or more hours on her personal business venture.
And then you also have to sort of live with a sense of urgency, right? No one is your boss. No one is telling you what to do. No one's telling you that things need to be done at certain times. And so it becomes sort of essential and critical that you sort of pace yourself and that you put yourself in timelines and deadlines in order to execute and to get the thing, to get the work done.
Essien says it's normal for her to work 60 to 70 hours a week between the two, not to mention putting up her own money to try to launch her business. So is all this worth it?
Yes, it is worth it. Because at the end of the day, if this does not scale accordingly, if this fails, the process was what's most important, right? The ability to meet, the opportunity to meet so many great minds and so many amazing entrepreneurs, and people who are just as committed to this cause as I am.
Last week's workshop in Washington was attended by about 20 entrepreneurs. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's news with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The main policymaking arm of the ruling SPLM party, called the National Liberation Council, voted last week to dissolve the party's leadership secretariat. Members of the SPLM say the move is way overdue, but critics say revamping the council now sends the wrong message to the people of South Sudan and the international community. The former SPLM Secretary General is calling on party members to distance themselves from President Salva Kiir. Pagana Moom told South Sudan in Focus today that the party has lost direction under President Kiir's chairmanship. Moom says the party's council is not responsible for misleading party members. And finally, the South Sudan Army says it has rescued 50 men who were abducted last week by an armed group in western Equatoria State. The SPLA commander of Division 6 says a rebellion is underway in the Munduri area, and it's time politicians acknowledge it. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with a song, Sitia Losi by Eddie Kenzo. We've been listening to Eddie Kenzo with the song Sitia Losi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Please join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.